You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Now, in many areas of human life, I think you'd agree with me that artificial intelligence has rapidly and significantly affected human society and the ways we interact with each other. It will continue to do so. That's a thing that is very, very sure. And along the way, AI has presented substantial ethical and socio-political challenges that call for a thorough philosophical and ethical analysis. And to help us with exactly that, it is, of course, Enoch who is joining us on the line. Good evening, my leader.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for asking. And you?
I'm doing okay.
Ah, fantastic. How's the day?
It's been good. I think there's a lot that's going on at the start of the year. So we're trying to settle in and see how everything goes.
So we are still taking those Happy New Years, eh?
Yes.
So Happy New Year to you too there. Just checking so that I'm not out of turn, you know. But Happy New Year to you.
Thanks.
Yeah, all thank you so much. All the best for the year. Which part of Zimbabwe are you from?
I'm currently in Mazowe.
Mazowe. And how's things in Mazowe there?
Just the weather.
Yeah.
It's been hot today.
Okay.
After some few days of continuous rain. I think we're okay.
I see. That's fantastic. So just today, a little bit of an inconvenience, but you've had some rain, which is a great. Hey, yeah, what a way to start the year. Well, thank you so much for joining us, and I really appreciate your time this evening. And we're talking about whether machines, and particularly artificial intelligence, as it were, can they have ethics or they just don't have ethics? I don't know if you're listening when I was starting the show, but I was watching this movie. I don't know if you've watched it. It's called Margo.
Okay.
So
I haven't watched
that. You haven't watched that movie. Okay. The long and short of it in just 30 seconds is that Mago is actually the name of an artificial intelligence that operates a certain house. Right. And this is a house that, of course, you know, belongs to, you know, family members of one of these other students who, after metric, I'll use metric, but after, you know, in America, they don't call it metric. Don't know what they call it, but this thing of, you know, when schools are done, they are done with school. So set of friends, they take each other with their friends to visit this particular house, which is in a remote area, right? And when they get there, one of the things that were really interesting, and I think it's young people, so anything with technology would obviously pique their interest and all that. So they get to this house, right? And this house, they introduce themselves. Well, the first thing that really struck them was that the house actually talks and greets them. You know, hi, guys.
Okay.
How are you? Who are your names? And then they, you know, mention their names and everything like that. And what's scary, I suppose I'm speaking because I watched the entire movie. But what's scary is that this house is able to actually connect dots. So, for instance, once it got their names, it was able to search for them on the internet. It could pick what they like eating, their mannerisms, their behavior, and all those sort of stuff. I made an example earlier that one of the guys that actually acts on the movie wakes up in the morning and this thing has prepared breakfast that he likes. Without asking for the breakfast, he wakes up and the breakfast is there. Not only that, it was able to learn the type of color they want and they like, so it would change their rooms to that color as well. You know, so as you're sleeping in your room, it, you know, it feels like you're home. For those of the others that, you know, shave in the morning, it had some robotic things that come out from behind the mirrors and everything. And you don't need to shave. It would do the shaving for you and all those sort of stuff. It was like so scary that you literally have to do nothing in this house. It does everything for you. It even created clones of them, you know, like three of Enoch in the same house, you know.
Okay.
You wake up, there's another Enoch next to you. It's like, okay, what's happening now? You know, so it was able to do that. I watched that movie a week or two ago, and I think it's a beautiful context to what we're talking about. But what was scary in the movie is that because it could preempt their next move, it ended up working against them because it literally shut them in the house.
Okay.
They couldn't leave because it was like, this is where you start and this is where you end. And some people would walk into certain rooms and they would never get out. I was like, yo, someone saying that's witchcraft. So I looked at that. I was like, is this what artificial intelligence actually looks like? And if that's true, it's very scary because I hear people in this space saying things are actually developing at a very, very fast rate. I don't know what your thoughts are just on that movie.
I think in as much as I love technology and how it's coming to make life easier for us, I think there has to be boundaries at some point. Because I think now when everything is being done, like it's reading your mind before you even implemented your thoughts.
Yeah.
It's already acting. I think now that's creepy.
So you agree that it's witchcraft as well?
Yeah. I would be scared.
I was certainly scared watching it. I was like, oh, this is really a lot, eh? But
I'm one person who admires technology. Like, I enjoy making use of technology.
Yes.
I'm always saying if I was living in the other parts of the world, I would probably not even leave the house.
Because
I'll just purchase things online, do my things whilst I'm in the house.
Yes.
See? But then if it starts acting like this now, I think it's too much.
That's a little bit too much, eh? Yeah, sure. No, watch that movie if you can. It's called Margot. I think it's on it's on Netflix or something. You can find that movie there. It's still streaming right now. But let's go back just a little bit as we talk about this one. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself for people who may not know you?
Okay. I'm Enoch Chaerera.
Yeah.
From Zimbabwe. I'm an IT professional specializing in administration and management. I'm currently the systems admin at Interfresh, Mazoe Citrus.
Beautiful, beautiful.
So I'm having six years on my CV of experience in IT.
Yeah.
And I'm currently pursuing my studies, MSc in data analytics and information systems management.
Yeah. Fantastic.
So I think basically that's me.
Fantastic, fantastic. Hey, very soon you'll be, pursuing the doctorate route in these type of things, data analytics and
all that. Yeah, I think the data analytics is making way
to
delve into AI.
Ah, fantastic. You
it's
see,
an area of interest.
Just like those machines, I read your mind that's where you're going. Uh-huh. You see? So I'm clued up with these things as well. thank you so much for joining us, Enoch, there. Just your thoughts, by the way, as well. You know, we used a quote earlier on when we started the show from Bill Gates, you know, who you might know, of course. Bill Gates said the advance of technology is based on making it fit in so that you don't really even notice it. So it's part of our everyday life. I think we've gone to that level, isn't it?
Yes. I think maybe this side of the world in Africa, we are yet to, but there is some instance where you really experience that. And actually, the quote is actually suggesting that successful technological advancements are those that seamlessly blend into our lives.
Yes.
Becoming an inherent and unnoticeable part of our daily routines.
Sure.
So this integration allows technology to enhance our experiences and capabilities so that it draws attention to itself.
That's very beautiful. That's very beautiful. Okay.
So I would say maybe the true value of technology lies in its ability to enhance and improve our lives and remain unobtrusive and intuitive.
That's beautiful. That's where it finds its value, right? Over and above the fact that you guys do these amazing things that we always look like, eh, what did you guys do? You know, which for you is perhaps exciting when you guys do these innovations and everything. But for us, it's what's the value for us?
Yeah, the value is what's important.
Definitely, definitely. Okay, let's rather define artificial intelligence at a very basic level. What are we talking about? I want us to frame it from that end so that our listeners and myself as well, we move with you quite very well. So when you talk artificial intelligence and we talk machines, what are we talking about?
Okay, basically, artificial intelligence, we're talking about a simulation of human intelligence.
Yeah.
It's a simulation of human intelligence where we are bringing together a wide range of technologies, algorithms, and methodologies that enable computers to function or to mimic the cognitive functions associated with human intelligence.
Ooh.
Maybe such as learning. The AI is able to learn, like you were giving the example in your in the movie. It was learning their behaviors, and it then comes up with reasoning, problem solving, and perception, and maybe language understanding.
Sure. Now, going back to this cognitive intelligence that you're speaking of, isn't that what makes us human and makes us different from any other species? Are these robots taking over now from just the basic function that makes us who we are?
Since we're saying it's a simulation, we're going to be in competition.
Oh, no.
But definitely there is always that edge a human being will have over a machine.
Oh, no.
Simply because it's the human who has created the machine.
Ooh, but it sounds like it's just a small variation.
It's going to be a small difference.
Yeah.
Because I think the goal is to make AI take most of the human part so that in the end humans will have more time to themselves.
Oh,
or at least humans and The technology is automating and doing their tasks.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe you deal with these things every day, so they don't scare you. But that for me is very scary. Because, you know, if there's one thing we pride ourselves is that ability to cognitively, you know, think and use our brains and all those sort of stuff. So if this thing will compete with us at some level, I love the idea of, you know, having time to ourselves. You know, we love that. And maybe the technology can help us with that, enhancing that. It can do most of the mundane work and we just sit and enjoy life, you know. Like just like me, I love enjoying life and all those sort of stuff, but it is still quite scary to think that there's still the cognitive intelligence that this thing can also you know, mimic or learn and learn to simulate and all those sort of stuff. But maybe that's a conversation for another day. But let's talk about then the ethical concerns. I'm sure there are many, right, around artificial intelligence. And for someone wondering, why are we even having this conversation? Is it a real concern that machines and, I suppose, artificial intelligence will someday replace human beings, particularly in the workplace, or it's just a perceived concern?
Okay. I think the ethical issues that we're having with AI. AI systems are created and programmed by humans, right?
Yeah.
But then, based on how they are designed and implemented, there can be ethical concerns that arise from that. Maybe potential biases in algorithms.
Okay.
The impacts on privacy and security.
Yeah.
The automation maybe of decision-making processes.
Okay.
And potential social and economic consequences.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll continue to refer to your movie.
Mm-hmm.
recently I was watching actually a clip on Twitter where the people in UK it said that there is a camera, a surveillance camera, which is the term was it's stalking people.
Okay.
Like on the highway.
Sure.
On the highway, you can actually zoom in enough to see if you're using your phone inside the car. And it's going to be recording all those crimes. And in the end, you meet tickets, traffic tickets and stuff. So there's concerns about privacy now. Now you get scared to be on the road. Then some commentators were just saying, we need, in as much as we need AI, we also need people to still have that freedom of going about their business. And they don't have to be scared of whatever is happening around them. That they are being stalked or something like that.
Okay, so which means the concerns are actually real, because it does look like these are concerns that a lot of people are having, but they can be corroborated, because if this thing can follow me and take pictures of me without my consent and all those sort of stuff, then the concerns are actually not even perceived; they're actually real concerns.
They're real concerns.
Yeah. Talking about biases, are we saying that these robots and artificial intelligence have the potential to skew our views on certain things based on how they are learning certain biases?
Yes. These robots are using certain algorithms to learn certain behaviors.
Yeah.
To formulate cognitive behaviors.
Mm.
So the manner in which they are programmed now, if the programmer has a certain way that they want to influence,
yes,
it means that it's going to do it the way the programmer wants.
Yes.
So that's an issue of bias now, where there has to be now governance issues and maybe ethical frameworks that are developed so that they are used as guidelines for developers, and so that they maintain principles of transparency, accountability, fairness, and maybe robustness.
Are we taking this thing too far there? And I'm still just thinking about these biases, and in my mind, I can see this particular guy who says, actually, my worldview is like this. People should wake up at 6 and go to bed at 10. And, between 6 and 10, everyone should be sleeping. So if we program robots, say security robots, for example, with this type of bias, whenever they see human beings, they'll be like, why are you still here at this time? Because you should be sleeping and all that. And that's because someone has programmed this thing to say between this time and this time, you shouldn't even be on the streets, and which then infringes on people's rights.
Yeah. Like I highlighted earlier on, there is need for
governance,
human aspect
to
still remain.
Yeah.
In as much as we will have to live together in the same space with those AI devices, but we still have to maintain the human aspect where you don't have to be controlled every time. You need to maintain that independence where when you need to do this, you can always do. You have the independence to be doing your own things at your own time. Yes.
Sure. And in the workplace, then, how likely are we to be replaced by these things?
Yeah, definitely. Most of these tasks are coming to be automated and taken over by AI. It's actually we're going to have things like maybe job displacement.
Yeah.
Job transformation.
Yeah.
But then the brighter side is there's going to be new job opportunities.
Yes.
Like at the moment, the field of data science is growing.
Yes.
And the reason why the field of data science is growing, we have come to learn that there is so much data in the world.
Mm.
And the AI utilizes that data then to formulate behaviors, to perform whatever tasks.
Mm.
That's maybe the brighter side.
Yeah. But then
I'm seeing people who need to maybe upskill or actually change. They will need to change maybe career paths so that we find a way of having a balance
between
the automations and the skills that we currently have.
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense. So you spoke about governance earlier on and the need for that. Can we encode ethics into these things? So in other words, I suppose to a greater extent, you know, doing away with whatever biases that one developer or two or others have. Like you said, if we develop guidelines and governance structures and all that, and you say as a developer, you only operate within these parameters. You know what I mean? So whatever you do must be within this. Can we encode those morally or whatever standards, acceptable guidelines into these things so that they also kind of operate from that level?
Okay. So I think just on a lighter note,
yeah.
I read somewhere where it was saying probably the AI through the learning process and the adoption of cognitive behavior and stuff, it's also going to learn on its own to be ethical.
Oh, okay.
I don't know how that would work.
Yeah.
But it would be an interesting thing to research about.
Yeah.
Then there's a lot of frameworks and governance that are being developed to manage the development and use of AI.
Yeah.
So maybe just to list a few, I came across the IEEE Global Initiative on Ethics of Autonomous and Intelligent Systems.
Mm.
So this initiative is providing a comprehensive framework for the development and deployment of AI that aligns with ethical principles such as transparency, accountability, and fairness.
Okay.
Yes. Then the European Commission also has an ethics guidelines for trustworthy AI.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which outline the key ethical principles, including human agency and oversight, the technical robustness and safety, privacy and data governance, transparency, diversity, non-discrimination, and societal and environmental worldview. So I think there is, with the advent of the AI is still going on, and as it is still growing, there is also a realization of a need of frameworks and guidelines so that in the end we want people to be safe.
True. I love that.
We want people to feel independent despite their tasks having been automated or something.
No, I love that. Yeah. I love that. It gives some sort of at least comfort that there's some frameworks and, you know, I suppose that are being developed to kind of bring transparency, accountability and fairness in artificial intelligence. I was trying to look for the quote as you're speaking there. I just have forgotten it. But I know someone once said that this AI thing is actually growing at a faster rate than most people in this space have actually anticipated. Is that the case?
Yeah. Yes, it is. The thing is,
you guys are gonna bomb us one day, eh? Like, seriously.
I think the pace actually increased due to the COVID era. You know, everyone was
I
doing
see.
everything online.
Yeah.
And there was really a need to quicken the pace at which maybe we're automating our systems. And since people were not available maybe to be at the office or physically on site, you see, so
yeah,
we saw a rise of chatbots.
Yes,
you can actually chat to that chatbot, have your issue resolved without even the intervention of a human. So I think the pace increased during the COVID era, and I think it still hasn't slowed up.
Yeah,
we're still continuing to manipulate every other space.
Yeah,
just make work. We've realized that technology is making work easier and faster. I can even testify in school.
Yes,
I'm really enjoying the use of this AI thing, because you find that you are blank on something, and then you just ask it,
sure.
And then it sheds some bit of light. Then you have a starting point.
Yes.
For whatever you want to research on.
Please remember to paraphrase, please. Eh? Yeah. Otherwise.
Definitely. every student knows.
Yeah, exactly. I was about to say, you see, a scholar in me just came out there, right there, to say, please, as much as it gives you something, paraphrase, please. Otherwise.
Yes. Nah, I think I use it for to get ideas.
Yes.
And maybe a guide on how
definitely.
I'm supposed to
definitely.
Go about whatever I'm doing. Yes.
Definitely, definitely. You know, just going back to that chat box thing that of course we had during that time. A comment saying, "Hi, Bo Enoch, not you using ChatGPT for your assignments." So there you go. Don't worry. Enoch, your lecturers are not listening. So
I hope so.
I was thinking about these chat box. You know the one thing, and I hope I'm understanding them correctly, because these things are very weird for me around technology. I suppose younger people can you know, deal with it much better. I'm actually thinking about the one thing that I really hated about these chat box was that they asked me if I'm human. And they are not human, but they're asking me to prove that I'm human. I'm like, how on earth does that happen? Because you are a chat box yourself. You're not real, but you're asking me to confirm that I'm real. What was the reason for that?
They're not allowed to speak amongst themselves.
Ah, okay.
So, in as much as it's there to solve problems, there's also a possibility of someone creating that to manipulate or create another problem. So you, by the confirmation that you are human, then it knows it's safe, and there's little opportunity or capacity to be manipulated.
Yes Okay, that makes sense. Now back to this AI thing as well. Please help us understand, and this is now drawing towards the end. Please help us understand, who takes responsibility for any AI mistakes, and how do we even approach that? I'm sure something somewhere, some wheels fall off in this thing, but it looks like, just like these so-called cryptocurrencies, no one is responsible for anything here.
Yeah. Determining the responsibility of for AI mistakes can be a complex issue, really.
Okay.
And it's depending on on various sectors, including maybe the specific context, the nature of the mistake, and the roles and responsibilities of different stakeholders involved. You see, we have developers and engineers. Who are responsible for the development and programming of AI systems. So these ones, they can be held accountable for mistakes resulting from errors in design, implementation, or testing.
Yeah.
And also you can hold them responsible maybe for biased algorithms, incorrect assumptions, maybe and technical failures.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And also we have data providers. Since the AI systems heavily rely on data
yeah.
for training and decision making.
Yeah.
You see, the AI, it improves performance over time from the data. It's learning. So if the data used to train the system is biased or incomplete or maybe of poor quality, that means we have biased outcomes and erroneous outcomes.
Yes, very much so.
Maybe the entities responsible for providing the data in this case will be held responsible. Then maybe lastly, I'll talk about the deployers and users.
Yeah.
These ones will bear responsibility for their actions. Maybe in decisions regarding appropriate use cases, system configuration and monitoring. For example, if the AI system is used in an appropriate or negligent manner, the responsibility may lie with the organization or individual using the system. Yes.
Sure. Okay, that makes sense. I think generally you've almost calmed my fears around this thing, right, that I had, because I do think that maybe kind of having a balanced view on the benefits of it and on the negative side of it helps us to frame this thing. But I still want to get to a point where I can pinpoint someone, because obviously things that are developed to be used in companies, we can all go back to someone if there's a mistake and say it's you. Right.
Yeah.
So the reason why we've got skewed results and skewed decision making, because we needed the data, right, from people like yourselves who are data scientists. You gave us the data. You know, through the data, we were able to make certain decisions, and thus these decisions ended up getting the company to this level. But it seems like people who are in this space kind of also want to develop other things outside of the normal controlled environment of a company. And they produce all these things that just have sometimes negative repercussions, and no one takes responsibility. They hide behind that. We are all speculating who's the person behind cryptocurrencies till today. You know, he's never really come out and said, it's me, I'm responsible exactly for all these shenanigans that are happening around cryptocurrencies. But if there's a way to get to some sort of level where we can hold someone responsible, I think it would have been, you know, a win for both parties, because then at least we'll find some sort of semblance and sanity in how these things are growing and they're affecting us. That's where I think some level of comfort, although you've given me comfort, but I think that's where I would definitely be comfortable if we can get to that level.
Okay. So it's worth noting that the legal and ethical considerations surrounding AI responsibility are still evolving. And there may be variations across different jurisdictions and contexts.
Yeah.
Again. So as AI technology progresses, There is a growing focus maybe on developing frameworks for accountability, for transparency, maybe an explainability to address challenges of assigning responsibility in the context of AI mistakes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe responsibility for AI mistakes can be shared amongst multiple stakeholders.
Yeah.
We have collaborative efforts among developers, users, regulators, and other parties.
These are
essential maybe to ensure that AI systems are designed, deployed, and used responsibly.
Definitely. And look, like I'm saying, you know, I'm not against developers. I'm not against the advancement of technology, you know, and artificial intelligence and all those. So I'm just saying a balance is needed because, otherwise we're going to get out of hand, right? As much as we need to take responsibility for the people that come up with these things and they become catastrophic, we also need to equally celebrate where artificial intelligence is making life easier. I can make an example. For instance, in my house, you know, things like TVs turn on with just my voice, you know, without touching the remote and all those sort of stuff. So that I appreciate, just like you really appreciate technology to a greater extent. But somewhere it can just become a little bit challenging. And I'm like, hey, I think who am I going to when this thing starts acting weird? So that's why I'll never buy robots, because I need to know where do I take this thing once it starts talking back to me, for example.
Yeah.
You know, when I say, please go do this, and it says, Angifuni, I don't want to. You know, and it starts locking the house. I can't leave. No, someone must take responsibility.
Yeah, someone must account for
exactly,
that.
Exactly. You know, so that's the scariest part. But as we end, and I really appreciate your insights, by the way, and how you've made this quite simpler for us. You spoke about potential biases, privacy and ethical issues. And also there's, I suppose, issues of decision-making, which are concerns that are valid. Any, as we draw to a close, to add on these ones?
Maybe I'll just say, throughout the development of AI, at the moment, you really don't know what's being taken from you and how much you are losing. So I would maybe emphasize the point that you need to take care of your digital footprints. By digital footprints, I'm saying your activity online, Facebook, social media, whatever social sites or whatever sites that we are on, you need to be as careful and so that maybe there is an increase in hacking and stuff. Sometimes you're not even hacked by a human being. You're actually hacked by a system.
That's scary.
So you need to, if you can, you need to keep as little information as you can online at the moment. Maybe until you are very sure of your the guidelines and the frameworks that also protect you legally, so that at least if something happens that's unpredictable and that's a result of maybe issues with the AI, issues with technology, someone can account. There should be ways to reverse that.
Definitely. Enoch, thank you so much for your time this evening and chatting to us. We really appreciate it, and definitely we shall follow you and be in touch as well, and you know, may God continue to bless you as well.
Thank you so much. It's been an experience.
Thank you so much. Same here. All the best.
Okay, thanks. Cheers.
Bye-bye.
You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.